First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Connection, you have arrived at the right place. Welcome to the Ed Springson Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com. You can go for all the latest stories, investigations, and all the other crazy stuff we do around here. And I tell you, for you guys that are new to the show, don't forget, you can call us. The numbers are at 858-683-1326. Or in the Louisville area, you can call 502-805-0334. For you guys in the listening queue, as always, we appreciate having you there. Just make sure you hit the little number one on your dial pad so we know you want to be heard on air. And for everybody else, jump on into the chat room. Yes, you can jump into the chat room. You can sign in using your Facebook, your Twitter accounts, your social media accounts, whatever you want to do. I tell you, there's all kinds of ways to talk to us. I tell you, it's been an extremely, extremely busy week. I just cannot fathom telling you everything that's been going on. Trust me, you're going to want to watch the stories coming out next week. The Glen Mary situation is really heating up, very greatly so. The Mayor Greg Fisher lawsuit is getting ready to go into overdrive. I tell you, I just don't know what else is going to come, man. It's been that kind of a week. But I tell you, you're going to look forward to it next week, so make sure you pay attention and enjoy what's coming. That's all I can tell you. We've got all kinds of stuff to talk about tonight. I kind of want to start with a story put out today by WFPL. And I have to tell you, WFPL has really come a long way in the last few months. One of my favorite people at WFPL has always been Philip Bailey since he went there. And WFPL, their political division, is really coming along under his tutelage. And this is another great story. Judge Sandra McLaughlin. Yes, Sandra McLaughlin. She won the election in 2011 and ran for judge and won the election. She is the worst rated judge and has been for 2 years running. And I tell you, they put out a story today at WFPL that told us exactly why. And let me qualify this by telling you folks, back in 2011 and 2010 when she was running for this office, I guess, 2010, Sandra McLaughlin had a ton of red flags that stood up for me anyway. And we put out the information back then, and she pulled it off and got elected. But Sandra McLaughlin is basically a hot-headed wild card, in my opinion, always has been. I mean, she was fired from the Commonwealth Attorney's Office, of all things, for attacking a juror because she didn't agree with the verdict that the jury had put out. And then on top of that, the person she was running around with campaigning for her during 2010 was a guy by the name of Don Dissler. Don Dissler, of course, went to jail. At that time, the only guy who had ever been prosecuted and sent to jail on a felony environmental claim. You know, this is a very serious thing, and she had no problems running around with this convicted felon. Well, lo and behold, apparently she's creating even more conflict in her courtroom. According to WFPL, a gentleman by the name of Daryl Brodus was brought into to Judge Sandra McLaughlin's courtroom for an arraignment on drug charges. Remember, innocent until proven guilty for an arraignment on drug charges. But what did he do? He walked into the courtroom and he was wearing a Barack Obama T-shirt. So what does McLaughlin do on the bench in front of Brodus and a full courtroom? She said that his T-shirt wasn't going to help his cause. She even said, did you see his T-shirt? Barack Obama, let's do it again. That was a double whammy. And that's on the video footage in the courtroom. This is a serious concern. You know, again, like I said, she was elected in 2010, took the bench in 2011 as a district judge, was fired from the Commonwealth Attorney's Office, doesn't mind running around with a convicted felon who is helping trying to get her elected. And Dissler goes way back, folks. We could tell you horror stories about this nightmare out in the South End, but we're not going to go there tonight. You know, the lowest rated judge in the county, and she's running for re-election and telling the whole world she just does such a great job. I've never seen anything more laughable. She is actually just fulfilling what we always knew she would be as a judge. She's a nut job. You know, she has a habit of making comments against defendants and to their attorneys that are very inappropriate. You know, even last October, you know, she accused defendant Wesley Taylor, standing before her on an arraignment charge for a drug possession charge. She accused defendant Wesley Taylor of being up there selling dope to little kids. This was on record. He wasn't accused of selling any drugs to anybody. The guy had drugs on his drug possession charge, but that doesn't make him a dope dealer, okay? But she's sitting there saying, on the record, he's here selling dope to little kids. That's nuts. Ronnie Gravel, he was in court later, you know, and McLaughlin was sarcastic with him, said he needs to burglarize so he can maintain his drug habit so everyone feels good and safe with him out in the public. Gravel had never been convicted of any drug charge, and the case was later dismissed. She has denied defendants a public defender. I mean, these are the things you run into. I mean, it really, really is. And you have to ask yourself, what gives? How did this person get elected with her history before she got to the bench? And certainly she has got to be defeated on a reelection. We need to get people like her out of the legal system. They should be brought up on charges. And I truly believe that. I know it. I'm sorry if people disagree with that, but I truly believe that. She only has a 26% satisfaction rating, folks. 26%. The next one closest to her has a 54% satisfaction rating. Somebody explain that to me. I think WFPL did a fantastic job with this story laying that out. I think that, you know, you should read this story. I'll put a link into the chat room for you guys that are there. You know, and much props to, you know, WFPL for this story. I tell you, it's one of the rare people there. It's Zoe Shaver is the one who wrote the story. It's one of the rare people there that I'm going to start paying attention to. I like the story. I like the way they laid it out. and I thought it was pretty interesting. You know, I think it's something you guys should be interested in as well. I just can't believe this. I think I do a really good job. I show up on time and I work hard. I don't care if you show up on time. When you treat people like that in your courtroom and expect them to think that they're going to get a fair hearing or a fair trial or a fair arraignment or fair treatment, guess what? No. So I'm pushing that dog into the dirt. I understand that. But I tell you, you know, it's incredible. It really is. You know, even District Judge David Holton had to reverse one of her decisions because she denied appointment of a public defender. You know, it's crazy. This particular woman was accused of misdemeanor shoplifting. She was living on disability, and she had actually stole $7. She had a $7 shoplifting charge against her. And instead of asking her any questions to help her get her legal defense, she wasn't allowed any legal defense. And McLaughlin made a sentence of 30 days in jail. I tell you, it doesn't get any crazier than that. It really doesn't. So please, God, let these people who vote in this next election get rid of people like that. We don't need more fallacies and more ego trips in our legal system. We need to get this under control. And it doesn't get any better. When you start getting into the political realm, folks, you have to start looking at everything. Last night we touched on this story, and I want to put it out there again tonight because, you know, we get a little bit different audience on Thursday nights who pay attention to these national races and things like that. But by now the whole world knows that Kentucky Senate candidate, Democrat Allison Lundigan Grimes, thinks that Israel's Iron Dome is an anti-tunneling weapon that can be described no different than that. Never mind that the anti-missile defense that we know as Iron Dome is actually an air defense system. It's a joint air defense system with the U.S. and Israel working together on this. Has been in operation for 3 years. It shoots these rockets that Hamas sends into Israel out of the sky before they hit buildings and people. Apparently, Allison Lundigan Grimes has remade the model, man, and thinks that this Iron Dome program that shoots rockets out of the air is actually, you know, shooting tunnels out of the ground. So, not sure who is handling her, but it's the funniest story of the day. I mean, it really was the funniest story of the day yesterday, and I've looked at some other stories that come out today after we reported it last night, and just seeing what the other take was on this from other people. And lo and behold, I'm not alone. We have now become even more of a laughingstock around the country, and the Democrats should be flat out totally ashamed of themselves for putting this airhead, Democrat Alice in Wonderland Grimes, that's what we refer to her here on this show, putting this airhead on a major ticket against the most powerful Kentucky person in Congress and Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. Why would you do this? It's nuts. Needless to say, Fancy Farm is coming up this weekend. Fancy Farm is going on this weekend, and I tell you, at that point, we are going to have a field day. It's really, truly. And I tell you, it's really funny. It really is. I think Mitch McConnell is going to have a field day with that at Fancy Farm. I think if he doesn't have a field day with that, he's an idiot. And so we'll find out what happens with that. But in the meantime, we're also getting different polls coming out. You know, as you get close to election, you get all these different polls coming out. And Mitch McConnell has a slight edge right now over Democratic challenger Alice in Wonderland Grimes, who thinks that missiles in the sky equate to tunnels in the ground. So this poll just came out. McConnell is leading Grimes by 2 points. Apparently, according to the survey, he's leading by about 2 points. But I'm going to take this other story, from my good friend Philip Bailey over at WFPL. I have to take this story out there because I tell you, he does a great job. He's talking about the 5 takeaways from the Bluegrass poll. Well, you know, we all know 2 points is basically a statistical tie. That's it. That's what it is. The poll was, the survey was conducted by Survey USA on behalf of the Courier Journal, WHAS TV, the Lexington Herald Leader, and WKYT TV, in Lexington. And Philip Bailey brings these 5 points out, and he points out the obvious. Even though it's a statistical tie, McConnell certainly has the momentum. This is the first lead that he's actually had in this Survey USA Bluegrass poll. And so he has definitely wiped away anything Alice in Wonderland Grimes has sent to him. That's taken care of. It's also interesting that the Democrats and Grimes campaign are still saying that this is a statistical tie. So they're okay. When you're losing ground, you can claim statistical tie all you want to. But when that ground is made up and you're surging ahead, you know, yeah, you're within the margin of error. But momentum is everything this late in the race. You've got to remember that, folks. You know, so it's going to be interesting to see how this works out. But apparently, Grimes is just making her case worse. It's also interesting, too, that Alice in Wonderland Grimes continues going out as a Democratic candidate, and preaching that she's all for women, women this, women that. And yet, according to the poll, Grimes is only leading McConnell among the group of women by just 1 point. If she is leading the feminist movement, folks, you've got a serious problem here. Alice in Wonderland Grimes is only leading even among women by just 1 point. And, of course, Mitch McConnell is holding a 6-point advantage with men. You know, considering that Grimes is spending all her time making this women's issues her central argument and every speech that she gives, it's should be very concerning that she is down to a 1-point lead amongst the group of women that have been surveyed, considering that in February, according to Philip Bailey, Grimes' lead on women was about 12 points. And that has all but evaporated. And Mitch McConnell is leading among the seniors as well. He is beating Grimes by 14 points with voters that are 65 years of age or older. And make no mistake about this, folks, the older people are the ones who typically show up at the polls and vote. So that's a real good group to have on your corner in a survey. You know, if you believe in polls, that's actually a very good sign. And now we've got other news. The third thing that Philip thinks is important is talking about the unification. And I think he's right. You know, the primary, of course, between Mitch McConnell and Matt, you know, Bevin, who basically imploded and never did have a grip on what he wanted to say throughout the whole primary, the primary really created a major division. But after that, but now that the primary is behind us, you're getting ready to go into the general election. According to Bailey's report, 82% of Republicans now say that they support McConnell's reelection. And I think that that's very, very telling, and you should too. So we're going to pay close attention to that. Of course, there's a lot of activists out there who still resent, you know, McConnell's tactics and all the other stuff. And I've chastised Mitch McConnell on air. I don't like the gutter campaigns that have become all too common and normal in political contest. But, you know, the fact is that they work. For him, they work. You know, they also found that only 74% of Democrats are actually supporting Grimes. Now, typically going into a general election, the Democrats unite fiercely after the primary. This is as low as I can remember being as far as Democratic support for their candidate in a race like this. And McConnell is pulling 20% of registered Democrats, according to the survey, who are going to vote for his reelection. And Grimes is pulling about 13% of the Republican voters for her side. So it's interesting, and the independents are basically split half and half from the looks of it. And according to Bailey, Eastern Kentucky coal, Hazard in those areas are a definite McConnell win. Eastern Kentucky gave McConnell his largest margin, a 15-point lead, and 52% say they trust McConnell more on coal, and about 34% chose Grimes. And what makes that interesting is you guys are paying attention, I know, and when you're seeing all the campaign ads and everything else that have been going on with Alice in Wonderland Grimes, what are we seeing? We're seeing the same thing. We're seeing a situation that we have got. She's out there taking all these attack ads against Mitch McConnell on coal, and they clearly are not making one iota of difference at this point. So that's very interesting. Chat room, before we move on to the last part of that. You know what? Yeah, we've got Paul Holliger with Stop Invisible Taxes in the chat room, and he's putting out that the Dems are already doing damage control because their spokespeople are attacking McConnell on the fact that a seasoned veteran like McConnell should have more than 50% majority in the polls. The problem with that, and you're right about that, Paul, I agree with you 100%, but the problem with the Democrats' logic is very simple. This is normal for Mitch McConnell. Anytime he campaigns, he goes to the gutter early, and he goes for a knockout punch in everything he does from the very beginning to the very end of the campaign. He plays aggressive, and he plays hardball. He plays to win. If you look at Mitch McConnell polling as this seasoned veteran like the Democrats are trying to pull it off now, this isn't anything new, really. Mitch McConnell has never had a big majority when it comes to any kind of polling at all. Mitch McConnell has always been, you know, slightly ahead or even, you know, and then election day he wins. That's just the way it's always been. So this isn't anything new for the Democrats to try to spin, but it is interesting that they have tried to spin Mitch McConnell as being against coal, and clearly Kentuckians know better than that, and it's just not happening. And then, of course, the one thing that is sticking is Republicans and Mitch McConnell tying Alice in Wonderland Grimes into the Barack Obama, you know, presidentials. You got to look at this. President Obama's numbers in Kentucky are pathetic. They've got 28%. Only 28% of Kentucky holds any kind of a favorable view towards Barack Obama. You know, Grimes is trying to distance herself from Obama. Now, remember, you know, she's for him before she's against him, which is nothing new. You know, and also Kentuckians are getting sick of the Democratic-controlled Senate. When you break that down during the poll, the voters who were polled were asked who would do a better job running the Senate, and Republicans outnumbered the Democrats. The Republicans won at that question by 8 percentage points, 48 to 40. You know, we've got to look at all of this stuff, because what really ultimately happens here, folks, is this year is the year that the Republicans believe that they're going to be able to take back the Senate and finally move ahead. We have put out the numbers with Harry Reid and how controlling he has been and how he has even screwed his own Democratic colleagues in the Senate. His own people are sick of him. And the Republicans believe they've got a great shot at taking back the Senate. And quite honestly, I do too. I think they've got a great shot as well. The Democratic-controlled Senate, the Obama and Reid philosophy of communism, or I'm sorry, progressives' vision in the United States of America just has not worked. It has failed miserably. So we've got to make sure that we spend some time here. But that race is very, very important. I wanted to point out some of that stuff to you. And to tell you how bad it is with the Democrats in Kentucky, you know what, I tell you what, we're going to take a break because I am really getting ready to go into a sneezing fit. So we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. But I want to get into what the Democrats really do here in Kentucky and how some of these people are connected, billionaires to your governor. Yep, you got it. We're going to talk about some coal companies that are under some serious problems right now, investigations that are going to link them to Steve Beshear and a whole host of other stuff. So stick around. Come back after the break. You're listening to the Ed Springer Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
advertisers. Here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
My goodness, help me make it through the show. Man, I tell you what, it really gets bad right now with this, mercy. I tell you, this allergies are just really kicking up for a lot of people right now, and I'm one of them, and I apologize for that, but it is what it is. Things never get more humorous to me in this Commonwealth of Kentucky than towards the end of an elected term. Let's take Steve Beshear. Steve Beshear is in his last term as Kentucky governor. His job is up next year. And now, all of a sudden, most of the stuff that we've always known, and don't forget, Attorney General Jack Conway, his buddy, is now running for governor next year. And all of a sudden, Jack Conway feels the need, and the people in this state feel the need to hold Steve Beshear accountable, which, of course, means there's a lot of dirt somewhere. Well, we have a big story coming out right now, and I'll give credit to the Courier-Journal on this one. It came out yesterday. But apparently, coal companies that are owned by Jim Justice has come under some major problems. They have failed to comply with basic strip mining reclamation regulations in Kentucky and in four other states, but the biggest one is right here in Kentucky. The Federal Office of Surface Mining Reclamation and Enforcement has counted at least, check this out, 266 pending violations against companies that are owned by billionaire, you heard me right, billionaire Jim Justice, who spends time hobnobbing with Beshear when Beshear goes out to Jim Justice's Greenbrier Resort. And, of course, Jim Justice's family, check this out, has contributed $400,000 plus to Beshear's, to our governor, our great Democratic governor, Steve Beshear, political causes in 3 years, folks, since early 2011. 129 of all these violations are right here in Kentucky. This has been going on for some time. And this is what makes it so interesting. This is not saying that this is a recent deal, but why is it now coming to a head? Why? Because Steve Beshear is leaving. Jack Conway has to have something to say that he's doing something credible as an attorney general because he has done absolutely nothing. And I agree, Paul. Paul is in the chat room saying emphasis is on con when you talk about Jack Conway. I totally agree, Paul. I'm not arguing with you. I totally agree. But Justice acknowledges that Steve Beshear is a good friend. He even says the violations are serious, you know. But Steve Beshear has to put a statement out today, or yesterday I should say, telling the whole world that Jim Justice's contributions have had no influence on government actions against him. You know, we're handling this the same way we would in all others. The governor's office never interferes. Folks, I've got to ask you, do you really believe that? Seriously? How naive are we? If Barack Obama and Eric Holder interfere in everything they want to interfere in and contribute to all of these constitutional malfeasance that you can imagine, I promise you, I know the Democratic mafia in Kentucky. They get themselves involved in everything. I don't buy that for 1 minute from Steve Beshear. I will never buy that. He could swear on a stack of Bibles, and I think that the Bibles would burn from his hand for lying. I believe that. Opinions, sue me. I don't care, but I believe that. There is no way in hell that Jim Justice is going to have all of these violations, and his good friend Steve Beshear hasn't done one daggone thing about this until now, miraculously, it's starting to come into the limelight, and they weren't involved together in some way on that. What do you think they're talking about when he's at Greenbrier Resort? When he's going to Jim Justice's Greenbrier Resort, and Jim Justice is giving him $400,000 in a little over 3 years, what does that tell you? Come on, use your head. So we're going to pay close attention to that going forward, and we're going to bring a lot more out for you. We have even more news. You're going to love this one. You're going to love this one, too. And for those of you guys who, oh, he always picks on the Democrats. Well, here's another Republican for you. Here you go. Kentucky State Rep. Ben Wade was indicted on Tuesday. Ben Wade was indicted through Franklin County Grand Jury for two counts of misappropriation of campaign funds. These are felony charges, folks. Now, why he was indicted and Katie King and Jim King weren't, well, let's guess. Let's see here. Ben Wade's a Republican. Katie King and Jim King are Democrats who have great friends with the legal community, including Jack Conway. No, that had nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. Well, Republican State Representative Ben Wade was indicted for felony charges of violating the state campaign law, two counts of misappropriation of campaign funds. This is from a news release from the State Attorney General's office. Miraculously, Jack Conway is going to prosecute this. His office is going to prosecute. Wow. Imagine that. Jack Conway prosecuting a Republican and refusing to prosecute a Democrat. Interesting. Wade is going to face up to 10 years in prison and about $20,000 in fines if he gets convicted. According to Jack Conway's office, Wade used $16,000 from a company that he founded called Liberty Rehabilitation to help fund his election campaign, and he reimbursed himself through that for travel expenses that he did not incur. And, of course, this all goes on with a civil suit that was filed by Wade's former business partners, who said that Wade used $30,000 of company money to fund his campaign activities. So we're going to pay close attention to all of that going forward as well. But I find that interesting. Here's the second issue of Republicans, two Republicans in 2 days now that we have reported on, the Attorney General's office is involved in, and both happen to be Republicans. Remember Steve Henry? Does anybody remember Steve Henry, former gubernatorial candidate? Married to former Miss America Heather French Henry? He got caught with so much stuff, it was unreal, and never spent a day in prison. He's a Democrat. Go to Jake Payne over at thevillevoice.com and look up Steve Henry. He put out so much evidence against this guy that anybody with half a brain would have put him behind bars. It never happened. I'm telling you, folks, it's always interesting when you look at this stuff. It really, really is. let's see here. Yeah, Paul, I know. Paul says in Kentucky, the only politicians that commit crimes are representatives. The Democrats are spotless. Well, of course. Except for this little thing called Boptrot many years ago, and they learned how to hide their fallacies, or all they did was just get themselves elected to the positions that could protect them. What do you think is actually going to happen? Let me really think about this. If Jim Justice gets caught doing all this illegal stuff with the coal mining reclamation, and he's under the gun now, and there's any way to prove whatsoever that Steve Beshear was covering for him, remember I said if. I didn't say he was. I said if. What do you think is going to happen? Jim Justice is going to get away with this, or Steve Beshear will do some sort of a daggone governmental pardon or something against Justice. And if they both get nailed, well, if Jack Conway gets elected governor, the plan is to pardon him. It's what we call the Ernie Fletcher defense. Yeah, Kentucky Ernie Fletcher defense is what we call it. This is amazing to me. How many of these trails all lead together and nobody pays attention? You know, it's very, very fascinating. And we're going to talk a little bit now. I kind of want to switch to a national right now, and I'll tell you why. because we've got the IRS going on. We've got some information coming in about Obamacare. And these things are things that you need to know. And yes, Paul, I agree. Thank God the Democrats are here to help us, right? It's that was said tongue-in-cheek, very sarcastically, folks. But, you know, we were talking about how Obamacare was going to bring the cost of health care down. Nancy Pelosi's infamous words were, we have to pass it to see what's in it. We have found that Obamacare has been a dismal failure. They continue skewing the real results and telling the real story about it and acting like Medicaid, new Medicaid recipients is Obamacare. It's not. But basically, all this was ever designed to do was make the healthcare industry even more money. The Republicans were blamed for looking at and having make sure that everybody's getting all this money through the healthcare insurers and everything else. Well, folks, let's take a good look at this. But there's a great story coming out, and Bloomberg is reporting on a lot of this stuff. And Obamacare has been great for one segment, hospital chains and insurers are making new mega bucks, while patients like us, who aren't part of Obamacare, are paying out the nose for insurance. Bloomberg is reporting that at least one, HCA Holdings, they are the largest for-profit hospital chain, and another one called WellPoint Inc., a for-profit healthcare insurance provider, actually went ahead, had to go back through and change their forecast projections because the two companies made record profits because of Obamacare. Folks, record-breaking profits because of Obamacare. LifePoint Hospitals, which is another example, reports that their earnings increased $13 million in the second quarter this year. And healthcare investor Les Fuhnleiter told Bloomberg that Obamacare has turned out to be quite good for healthcare companies. So if you're a healthcare company, you're making mega bucks. United Healthcare Group, one of the other large healthcare companies, they've got higher profits. And everybody agrees with one thing, that these higher profits are because of, everybody's being forced into insurance through Obamacare. So they don't have to do anything to improve their service. They don't have to do anything to help us out. All they're going to do is continue to wreak havoc on the cost of health care and rake in these record profits. I mean, it's incredible. It's incredible. HCA Holdings, for example, let's talk about this, for example. HCA Holdings, as we just mentioned, they raised their forecast, and they said that they have reported a 6.6% drop in uninsured patients. They own 165 hospitals. Now, why do they have a 6.6% drop in uninsured patients? Because so many people have expanded into Medicaid and have been forced into Obamacare. It's crazy. It's crazy. And nobody's paying attention to this. LifePoint Hospitals, another for-profit chain, raised their stuff. United Health Group. United Health Group said this month it added 635,000 people to its Medicaid plans. Now they're going to expand into two dozen Obamacare exchanges next year. Up until now, they've only had five exchanges. Now they're going to create two or join two dozen Obamacare exchanges because they added 635,000 people to Medicaid, which is jumping their profits through the roof. Through the roof. LifePoint got new profits of $13 million in the second quarter. It's 40% more than they expected to get this year. Think about that. Their profit went up over 40%. Where do you think that money is coming from, folks? Your tax money and higher insurance payments because of Obamacare. You're paying for it out the nose. But the Republicans were the problem. They couldn't control health care. Obamacare is going to save the world. I'll even give you this. Let's look at California. California. The California people who have been buying the individual insurance plans had their rates increased this year between 22 and 88%. 22 and 88% increase in their rates. And that's according to the state's insurance commissioner, David Jones. Now, think about that, folks. It's crazy. It's certifiable. Quite frankly, it's nuts. It's nuts. In other news, according to CNS News, we have got a brand new, yes, a brand new email exchange between Lois Lerner's official IRS account that shows that she didn't like conservatives and she refers to conservatives as assholes. But the IRS wasn't targeting conservative groups. We can't prove it anyway. They found this email. But miraculously, all of the real email that's going to tell us the whole story has disappeared. That email was sent November the 9th, 2012. Lois Lerner said in that email, or basically said that conservatives will ruin the country. We don't need to worry about alien terrorists with a capital R for Republican because it's our own crazies that are going to take us down. So we clearly have a bias here. With Lois Lerner and the IRS, and somehow, Eric Holder doesn't see it. Attorney General Eric Holder doesn't see this. It's a miracle, folks. Can anybody fathom or actually really truly believe in this country, in today's technology, that everything that has happened with this scandalous cover-up is just coincidental? Can anybody really truly believe that? I can't. There is no way, especially now that we find this. Now we know. You certainly have to create a situation in your mind for you liberals that continue to think that the whole world is, you know, going crazy if you're a Republican. You certainly have to see an orchestrated attempt here. I'm getting sick of liberal hypocrisy. I really am. Because if this had happened to any Republican or conservative, the liberals would be all over this like stink on shit. Bad analogy, you don't like the language, tough. I'm tired of being politically correct. This is nuts. You've got Lois Lerner out there intentionally targeting conservative groups, blatantly calling every Republican a terrorist and an asshole. They're all crazy. She abuses the power of her office, and Eric Holder turns a blind eye like he has to everything. Fast and Furious, Benghazi, IRS. You want a list? We'll give you one. The public has to have zero trust in the Democratic liberal agenda today at all levels, from Barack Obama to Eric Holder to IRS's Lois Lerner, to former Secretary of State Hillary, I bombed Benghazi, and I'm proud of it, Clinton. I don't care what anybody says about that statement. And this idiot wants to be president in 2016. We're going to talk about her in a minute. You've got to be disgusted. You've got to be disgusted. I know I certainly am. And it's going to get a lot worse because today the House voted to sue Barack Obama for violating his oath of office and for all the executive order changes he made to Obamacare that he did not have the authority to make. Now, of course, they haven't included all the scandals. They're focusing purely on the Obamacare situation. In a court of law, you have to have standing to move a lawsuit anywhere you want it to go. If you don't have standing, you can't file a lawsuit. In this particular case, the House does have standing because they passed Obamacare. So this suit has to be heard if our legal system means anything, instead of being thrown out of court like so many others have been. The vote was 225 to 201. There were five Republicans who voted against this lawsuit and voted with the Democrats. And one, at least one of these names surprised me. I want to hear your thoughts on this. The five Republicans who voted against the suit were Representatives Paul Brown out of Georgia, Scott Garrett out of New Jersey, Walter Jones out of North Carolina, Steve Stockman out of Texas, and the one that surprised me on this list who sided with the Democrats was our own Representative Thomas Massey right here in Kentucky. I don't know why he voted against that. I'm puzzled by that. Because I have all the confidence in the world in Tom Massey. I think Tom Massey to date is setting the stage to be a great leader for us going forward. So this vote really perturbs me, and I'm going to find out and get behind why. And maybe we'll bring him on the air and ask that question. I don't know. But all the other stuff that we've been hearing about is going to disappear because now that this lawsuit is going forward, remember this, folks. This is the first time that anybody knows of that this particular type of lawsuit has ever been filed. This is new territory. This isn't something. This isn't an impeachment. This isn't anything. This is a lawsuit. Because the House of Representatives has standing to file it. I'm going to be interested to see how this goes. I hope that the Supreme Court will use this and go to it very quickly because I believe it does come down to constitutional issues, and the Supreme Court typically does get involved in those kind of things if they think there's an immediate need for it. Unfortunately, the Supreme Court decides what's an immediate need and not. So we'll find out, but it's very, very interesting. It really, really is. You know, I got to tell you, I want to tell you this story real quick because the Republicans filed this lawsuit. The Republicans filed this lawsuit, and we've got Texas Democrat Representative Sheila Jackson Lee screaming yesterday that this is nothing more than a Republican effort to sue President Obama as a veiled attempt to impeach him. But this idiot, Democratic Representative Sheila Jackson Lee out of Texas, decided to keep running her mouth. This is something the Democrats never did to President George W. Bush. That's a lie. Former Representative Dennis Kucinich did exactly that and introduced a bill to impeach George Bush in 2008, and Sheila Jackson Lee was a co-sponsor of the bill to impeach him. The legislation read, deceiving Congress with fabricated threats of Iraq WMDs to fraudulently obtain support for an authorization of the use of military force against Iraq. Sheila Jackson Lee co-sponsored that bill to impeach George Bush. But the Democrats never did anything like that. That's what I'm telling you, folks. History for these people is whatever they choose to rewrite it to be. Let's go to the phones. We're on our 415 number. How are you, sir?
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air. What can we do for you?
Hi, Ed. It's Robert.
Hey, our good friend Rob Chapman. One of my personal favorite buddies. He was also the IT director for Louisville News and Politics. How are you, sir?
Hey, man, why are you talking about all these people committing federal crimes? You know, that we're going to have a record in presidential pardons here in 2016.
Oh, I think you are 100% right.
It's the current policy right now is to delay, so these people, you know, when they do get convicted or indicted, that the president's just going to go ahead and do a Clinton and pardon people for crimes they may have committed. So,
oh, you know,
what's the point?
I don't know why he hasn't tried the Ernie Fletcher approach. I mean, Ernie Fletcher, you know, remember when Ernie Fletcher was governor of Kentucky, you know, he pardoned all kinds of people for offenses that they may commit in the future or haven't come out yet. You know, they learned that from the Democrats. You're absolutely right. So where does the line get drawn, Rob?
I, you know, constitutionally, I mean, I know the president has the right to pardon, but don't you have to be convicted or indicted in order to be pardoned?
Well, you would think so.
I've had several legal discussions, things that won't be named on here.
Right.
About, you know, the difference between pardons and other things, and it requires a conviction. It's an indictment. And I don't know. I'm real interested. I mean, Clinton set a major precedent when he left office because he pardoned people for things they may have done.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And
unnamed,
he also pardoned
unnamed offenses. You know, wow.
And he pardoned criminals that were known criminals that he benefited from. You know, and,
mm-hmm.
Man, I tell you, Rob, I just don't know where the line's going to be drawn here. I really don't, because we have all of these scandals. There is no doubt in my mind.
Let's get a constitutional attorney and ask them if the president can pardon himself.
Oh, that's easy to do. That's easy to do. And to be quite honest with you, I've actually researched that. Believe it or not, I was playing around researching that about a year ago. And truthfully, this is going to blow your mind. Truthfully, through the research I was doing constitutionally and the executive powers that the president always gives himself and everything else, truthfully, he can pardon himself. He can pardon himself the day before he leaves office. And there's not a thing anybody can do about it.
Wow.
That's what I've researched. I have not talked to an attorney about it, but as you know, I'm pretty damn good when I do my legal research. And, you know, yeah, I suspect that he very well can based on what I've uncovered about a year ago.
Let's hope you're better at legal research than you are at flying a drone.
Oh, man, that hurt. That hurt badly. For those, I've got to qualify. You know, while you're there, you know, while you're on the air, we're just going to get off this national stuff, spend a couple of minutes here. I very rarely get a chance to talk to you on air. You know, for you guys who don't know, Louisville News now has a drone, and it's all thanks to our good friend, Mr. Rob Chapman. He is drone crazy these days. We took a flight a couple of weeks ago. Down by the river to show me some different things about the drone and the ways you can program it. And I tell you what, guys, this thing is totally fascinating, but it's miraculous when you have one tree that's 100 foot tall that you didn't even know was there. Only one. And, you know, we set the parameters where the drone actually hit the one tree, and totally accidental. But thanks for putting that on me, man. I appreciate that.
You're the one that said, oops, I touched something.
I want to bring that up too, because you've been putting a lot of on our blog. We started this whole thing started with originally with a blog, folks, at edspringsteen.com. That's the original blog that this whole news network started with. Then we gradually went to a regular website, LouisvillePolitics.com. But at edspringsteen.com on a blog, Rob has actually been posting up a lot of videos from the drone. And I tell you, I wanted to talk to you while I've got you here. What's the latest with the Bridges Project? Because I know the drone is going to be used for the Bridges Project, and we're doing a lot of research on that. So as long as you're here, folks, I'm sorry, we're going to get off national for a minute because we're running out of time, but I kind of want to get an update. Have you uncovered anything with the drone on the Bridges Project or any kind of new nuances that we need to know about?
Well, the one thing I've known, and I haven't put any kind of videos out there because I want to fly from 100% public right-of-way land, and it's hard on the East End to get, you know, fall within restrictions and get, you know, a good spot, because I have to find somebody, you know, willing to let me fly off their property, because all the land out there is private. But
right.
I thought the big reason for this $1 billion tunnel was to protect this supposed historic estate. But as far as I can tell, everything looks like a nuclear explosion went off. Go ahead.
When you define this as it looks like a nuclear explosion went off, we know for those of you around Louisville and the Bridges Project, we know on the East End they're building a tunnel to go under the Drummond Art Estate, which is a joke, but it added hundreds of millions of dollars to the cost of the project to protect, I mean, really nothing. But you're telling me that as a drone is flying overhead, we're seeing all of this stuff is basically destroyed from the project itself anyway, correct?
I mean, I don't see any – there's about a 200-meter gap that I can see. You know, if I'm staying 100% on on public property, there's about a 200-meter gap. So that's about 200 football – or two football fields worth of property that I can't see and I can't tell because – everything out there is private. And the funny thing, Ed, I went to the KIPDA, Kentucky Indiana Planning Development Agency website. They are the overall approving authority for all this. And I wanted to pull down a map of the project areas so I could see, you know, because there are some park lands in that area that people like to claim aren't really parklands, which is funny. It's a whole other story. Some people have kind of absorbed parklands into their property out there. But I'm looking at the map, and suddenly I looked over to the left, and I realized that there's something majorly wrong because I got looking because we crashed the drone out there. Or you crashed the drone.
Here we go. Yeah.
And I noticed that KIPDA doesn't include Hardin County or Fort Knox, our third largest employer. It's not there. It's not included. They're not thinking anything west of Valley Station.
So essentially what you're telling me is, let me see if I've got you right here, because you're saying that they're not including Hardin County, Fort Knox, Radcliffe, and all that. You know, that actually feeds everything into southwest, which feeds everything into the Gene Snyder Freeway at the southwest, at Dixie Highway, you know, which is where originally they were supposed to put a bridge crossing there into Indiana, but if they're not including us in the Bridges Project or any of the roadways or anything else associated with that, does that mean that they're basically isolating West Louisville once again?
Well, absolutely, because KIPDA, you know, the KIPDA planning documents, at least out to 20, now they're starting to talk about 2030, there's 1,000 pages worth of draft documents that are on their website, because I went and looked. Because people always say they, and I always try to go and find out who they is. And KIPDA does not include planning for the western part of the Louisville metro area. After you pass Mitchell Hill and Cosmosdale, there's nothing. It's all on their own. We almost lost Fort Knox several times as an active military installation because it's never they don't have good interstate access. The state had to come in, in an emergency under Paul Patton and build an interchange because Fort Knox was getting ready to get shut down.
Right.
So I kind of looked and I went, where the heck, what's their issue? It's the largest military installation in the state of Kentucky. Fort Campbell, the only thing that's in Kentucky at Fort Campbell is the post office. So Fort Knox is it for us. And we're not even the third largest employer. You know, and most of the people that work at Fort Knox live in Jefferson County, and they all have to go down Dixie Highway to get to work. But
after you
cross the Jefferson County line, there's nothing. They have plans to widen 71 all the way to LaGrange in this document. You know, all the way to the county line, I guess, for the speedway. All the way to the Oldham County line. Oldham County is fully incorporated in this plan, but Hardin County is not. Hardin County is on its own. Hardin and Bullitt County are, you know, if you throw Bullitt County in there as well, there's nothing. There is no infrastructure.
And what people need
to understand is it's the infrastructure plan, not just interstates and bridges. You're talking waterways and power lines and all the major infrastructure it takes to keep a city going.
Well, what that
tells
me is
nothing on the West End.
Well, that tells me once again that the elitists are trying to force everybody, you know, you're going to go to the East End and you're going to go to downtown Louisville, but the West End and Southwest Louisville, I mean, we're all one here, you know, are going to be completely ignored again, left to fend for themselves once again, which is going to stifle what? Business growth and development. If you don't have internet, if you don't have interstate access, then your business growth is surely gone, so the West End is going to be left behind again for another 50 years. And that, to me, is incredible. Rob, I apologize. I got to wrap. We are at the end of the hour, man. I'm sorry. I wish you would have called in earlier. We could have taken care of that. But we'll bring you back on soon.
No.
By the way, you've got your own website that's totally dedicated to the Bridges Project. And tell everybody what that is, please.
It's bridgelouisville.com. And it's basically Twitter feeds and all the social media feeds and stuff about the bridge and when I can get up there and take a video from public property, you know, I throw it up there. I've got a couple of pictures of the bridge projects as they're going because nobody's really documenting this. So I've started the little thing. I've got quite a few followers for the Twitter feed. So,
well, that's good because the more information we get out there, the better. And, of course, Rob is my partner with Louisville News. So, you know, you get a lot of that up on the blog as well at edspringston.com. Thanks for calling, Rob. I appreciate it. Folks, let me tell you something. It's really just become comical anymore when we look at the liberal, progressive, or communist agenda, if you will. You know, I continue to hear how Republicans are racist and Democrats aren't. And yet I look at this. West Louisville is primarily African-American, folks, truthfully. And Rob just brought it all back home again, that once again, the Democratic mafia who controls this town, who takes advantage and relies on the African-American voters to continue to win elections and keep screwing them over, are once again doing a long-range plan to accomplish that goal. It's insulting. It's pathetic. And yet somehow nobody seems to get that. Well, it's time you did. We'll have more on the Bridges Project going forward. We'll bring, you know what, Rob, I tell you what, we're going to bring you back on. I'll get with you and see if we can't find some time next week. Me and Rob talk all the time, folks, but never on air. And this is a very, very important story for us in Louisville and Kentucky. And it's going to affect everything, as Rob said, all the way to Hardin County and everything else. So we need to start really looking at that as this project moves forward. For everybody else, pay attention. Seriously, pay attention. If you're going to sit here and live in this liberal dreamland where everything is free and nobody has to pay for anything, don't be surprised when you have no place to live, no food in your belly, and no way to get any. You can't rob a store if the store isn't there to rob. You can't sell drugs if nobody has any money to buy it. So even the criminal element ought to be upset. That's pretty far-fetched, but think about it. Are we really going to go back to medieval times? Because the America that I know is going into a deep sinkhole faster than anything I would have ever expected in my lifetime. You know, a few years ago, I told everybody that was talking the kind of stuff that we talk about every day, they were nuts. Now, all of a sudden, I'm realizing just how smart they may have been. Open your eyes, get involved, make a difference, and remember, my view matters. Say that to yourself every day. Then open your mouth and hold them accountable. We'll talk to you later. Ken Moman will be here Sunday night with Liberty Unbridled at 7 o'clock. I will return on Monday at 7 as usual with more of your favorite stories. Have a great weekend, and we will talk to you later. Take care. Thanks for listening. Bye.